Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/Zabe today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today on the Zabecast, Bill Belichick authors a ground-and-pound masterpiece in a snow globe game. But don't ask the Bills coaches about it. They're still chapped. Cincinnati is in the football Final Four. I know a guy who played for the Bearcats. Do they have a puncher's chance against the Nictator and the Tide? Hatch will make his best case for it. All that plus spiced rum, some kind of miracle anti-aging drink? Your 35-minute uncensored Zabe Express is locked and loaded, so buckle up, man. Let's go.
Here we go.
Wednesday, December 8, 2021. Thank you for downloading. Wow, what a game plan and execution by Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. It was a run-the-ball orgasm. For those who say, what's wrong with running? Let's just keep running it. They beat the Bills 14-10 in an absolute howling snow globe of a game with just three passes from Mac Jones. 2 for 3. Somebody sent in a top three list to our morning show saying top three passes from Mac Jones. Number three, the incomplete. Number two, the short one. And number one, the other one that was longer. Bing, bang, boom. Fewest passes since 1974 in a game. I think fewest in a win, although it might just be fewest in the game. I can't exactly remember the stat, but it, you know, we're talking almost since the merger. There was a game somebody had two passes. And it was, I believe, 28 years ago on this date in which the SI ran a cover that said, how to revive a boring NFL. Let me get the exact cover for you. This was a very famous cover. The NFL had gone through a real string of boring games. Darren Revelle did tweet this out. There it is. 28 years ago today published, can the NFL be saved? 10 ways to revive a boring league. You can look the article up. It was from 1991. 28 years ago minus to 21, it says 92. It's something like that. Or 93, I think it was, actually. Running the ball is pretty boring. Winning is not boring. Losing to the New England Patriots, if you're Sean McDermott, oh, that's annoying is what it is. The Bills dropped to 7-5 on the year, but it's McDermott who comes from a defensive background who didn't necessarily have his best night and gave up 222 yards rushing when it was pretty clear they just weren't going to throw the ball. McDermott's now 2-7 all-time against Belichick, and his only two wins came last year when the Patriots finished below 500 in what was pretty much a punt-it year due to all the opt-outs and not having the quarterback they wanted. They did have Cam Newton there. Here was McDermott afterwards kind of being defensive about, well, coaching against Bill Belichick and people giving Belichick all this credit.
Yeah, it's not
let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position at the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turned the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football. Sloppy football. So I'm very comfortable in that situation.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of griping there. The winners write the history books, and your team did not get it done, despite the field position advantage, trips inside the red zone. How many points are those worth, Coach? Oh, right. So the question of whether Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, I think is a little bit misguided. He's, in my mind, the modern Lombardi, in that he is as good and as dominant and also innovative in a way as Lombardi, but in an era in which it's so much harder to win. The salary cap and free agency has drastically changed the game. Here was Mike Francesa saying he only puts Belichick fourth, which, according to Funhouse on Twitter, at Back After This, a noted Mike Francesa adjutant, he claims because Belichick never kissed the ring of the great Mike Francesa when Belichick was a coordinator for the Giants and Francesa was sniffing Bill Parcells' farts on a regular basis here.
I mean, listen, Belichick's non-Brady record is under 500. I don't think anybody questions that he's a good coach. Now, I don't believe that he's the best coach of all time. I never have. And the reason why is Lombardi was 9-1 in 10 playoff games. He was dynamic. He lost one. He lost his first playoff game. He never lost another one. Belichick is lucky, if not for a couple of crazy breaks, he has a losing record in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but also a couple of crazy breaks. The other way, he'd had even more Super Bowls.
And listen, he's gotten to a million Super Bowls. His record for consistency is insane. His division record is unbelievable. His win-loss record is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, maybe then you should go by those, not just by does he have as many Super Bowl wins as Lombardi.
But in the Super Bowl itself, they have never been a dominant team. And they have stolen... Well, I'm telling you right now, if you let me coach the Falcon game from the third quarter on, they don't lose. I could put 30 million people in the same role. And we all know this Seattle game. Now, throw one in that they lost against the Giants, give them a break, let them have one. You still give them two losses in those games, even if you split the two Giant games. Bottom line is, they've had a lot of breaks in the Super Bowl, and they've played in a lot of close games. So they've won a lot of close games. I think he's a great coach. I think he deserves to be a top five coach. I don't think he's a better. I would historically still put Lombardi and Paul Brown 1-2, and I would put him myself fourth. I would put Tom Landry third and Belichick fourth. And because first of all, here's how I deem it. Number one, Lombardi's the greatest coach of all time, and his record indicates it. Number two, Paul Brown's the most innovative coach in history. Even Belichick would admit to that. Everything that is in modern football was developed by Paul Brown. Every single part of it. Aaron Parsegan, who I trusted and for football, told me that by far Paul Brown was the smartest football man he ever encountered in his life. Okay, he said he learned more football from Paul Brown than he learned from anybody in his entire life. And he was coached also by Woody Hayes, among other people. And he said Paul Brown was absolutely the smartest coach he ever met. And I had other guys tell me that, many guys tell me that about Paul Brown.
Yeah, look, everything is going to be derivative as the years go on. Coaches will take things from those who innovate and then add to them. So I'm not sure just the whole, well, he innovated stuff. To me, Belichick has been an innovator in certain ways in that he does things that other coaches wouldn't do. Going for it on fourth and short deep in his own territory against the Colts on the road to try to take three knees and win instead of punt the ball away. That's something nobody would do. Belichick as well did all this in an era in which free agency is a constant challenge. The salary cap is a challenge. The modern player is a challenge. The egos involved. I mean, coaching when you're in Lombardi's era was a cakewalk compared to what you have to navigate now as an NFL coach. Belichick got certain things, still does get certain things that other coaches don't understand. The whole, what is my obligation to the media? Belichick thinks very little and has no problem mumbling his way through answers and being a dick about it and saying we're on to Cincinnati. He gets it. He's like, there's no point in going over this. No point in the negative energy. No point in the brain cycles. We're moving on. So in that regard, I think Belichick's great. And, you know, you talk about the Super Bowls that he lost. Well, look at the ones that they won that were close. They beat the Rams in New Orleans post 9/11, specifically because Belichick said, hey, we got enough time here to let's throw some passes, run some plays, try to get in position for a field goal. When the great John Madden said, I wouldn't do that. I'd take a knee and I'd go to overtime. He won a very well-coached and creatively coached close game against Carolina. He won the Seattle game on the end zone interception by Russell Wilson because they had scouted that very play and that they were aware it could be in the mix. So I think Belichick is easily the modern Lombardi. He is miles ahead of the next best coach in the NFL. And the fact that now he's sitting at 9-4 with a rookie quarterback who still really can't do a lot himself to win games, with just good, solid, fundamental football players all around that team, offense and defense, I don't think there's much of an argument. But those are all defensible arguments. I think Landry is a bit of a reach. But don't tell that to Sean McDermott, who says, let's not give too much credit to Bill Belichick for the win. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, and respectful day. It's obviously long in our history and didn't want to make light of it. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it. I didn't want to be insensitive, let's put it that way. But I always call certain outcomes in sports Pearl Harbors. If it's a strong team against a strong team and you are shocked at the blitzkrieg that results. This is especially in football. It's a rare thing. It can happen in basketball, but there's so many possessions in basketball. Football is the main one. I call them Pearl Harbors. When you are totally not expecting it, and you got a strong team that just gets crushed and blitzed by somebody else. I'd say the three biggest ones in the NFL in Super Bowl history, it happened last year. Tampa Pearl Harbored the Chiefs, 31-9, and it wasn't even that close. The Seahawks beat the Broncos 43-8 at the Meadowlands Super Bowl 48. That game featured the Broncos snapping the ball over Peyton Manning's head on like the first possession of the game, and it was all downhill from there. And I believe that the Broncos were favored in that game. And then, sad to say it, Super Bowl 18 in Tampa, the Raiders beat my Redskins at the time 38-9. Marcus Allen reversing field and going all the way. Jack Squirek intercepting rocket screen. There's a diplomatic boycott of the Olympics. Hey, how about that? Talk about something that is peak politician. Do something that will accomplish nothing. Check. Brag about doing that nothing. Check. Watch it do not just nothing, but maybe worse than nothing. Check. By the way, China says we will pay for this as a country. Ooh, I'm so scared. Actually, wait a minute. I am scared of China. Please don't tell them that. And then just wash, rinse, repeat. You really did something. Good job, politicians. A diplomatic boycott of the Olympics. So in other words, they're not going to fly there and sit around and sanction and bless the affairs with themselves, but they're going to let our athletes go there and compete. Speaking of doing nothing, NBA players now will not be able to play in Canada if they're not vaccinated because of the restrictions coming and going from the country. Any unvaccinated NBA player with temporary visa status who leaves the country will be unable to re-enter the U.S. according to a memo obtained by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. This includes if you leave the country during the NBA All-Star weekend. Let's see. I looked this up. Canada has a recorded official 1.8 million cases in a nation of 38 million. That's pretty spread out if you look at the map. Easily three times that many people have been infected, so let's bump it up to 6 million cases. Easy. And 79% of the population has been vaxxed. But no, we can't let Bradley Beal or Jonathan Isaac ruin it for the country by letting him in and possibly spreading COVID. Eat syrup, you overly polite, curling-addicted cowards. Good job, Canada. Some quick liners, quick hits, I should say, one-liners. Boy, I love Cooper Kupp of the Rams. I think I saw a stat that said he's the first player to ever go 12 games out of the gate with 100 yards receiving and 10 or more catches. Here was Cooper Kupp explaining the coverage on one of the plays he scored a touchdown on last week. Hold on a second. Got to get my volume up here. Stand by. Not always that smooth.
Touchdown specifically, your defender went and blitzed. What did you see there? How were you able to use that to your advantage?
Yeah, they had a little three deep fire zone, brought the nickel off the edge, safety dropped down. It didn't look like they were doing a replacement fire zone, so I knew at the back away we were going to get three pushing through. I had an opportunity to kind of run in there if I could beat my guy and just had to beat the safety to the end zone.
That's funny. That's three parts Ricky Bobby, one part special needs. Wait, I can make that joke, can I? Okay, lighten up, everybody. Actually, let me hear that again. What accent do I hear in there?
Specifically, your defender went and blitzed. What did you see there? How were you able to use that to your advantage?
Yeah, they had a little three-deep fire zone, brought the nickel off the edge, safety dropped down. It didn't look like they were doing a replacement fire zone, so I knew at the back away we were going to get three pushing through. I had an opportunity to kind of run in there if I could beat my guy and just had to beat the safety to the end zone.
Fire zone. What is that I'm hearing? If you can hear any peculiar or particular accent or dialect, let me know. Quick hitters. Dear Wikipedia, stop asking me for money. Doesn't your site cookies that I'm sure you're using to track me already know I'm not giving you any? Quick hitters. Manning cast, biggest gripe. Talking over each other. It's because Peyton and Eli don't want to come in to a central studio together. They just want to do this from home because they can, because the Mannings, they're the Mannings, and it's like either you get this or you get nothing. What do you want? They don't care. They don't give a fuck. So all the delay going back and forth, it's worse than, well, awkward FaceTime convos, right, Peter Griffin?
Hey, can you guys keep it down for a bit? I got to have a FaceTime conversation with my wife where we talk at the same time and then stop and then start again then laugh.
Hi, honey.
No, you
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You first. Yeah.
All right, let me say goodbye to Mommy.
Mommy.
You
goodbye, honey.
You
oh, what?
Go.
I was
you
just going to say... Everything stinks.
I'll still take the Manning cast over the regular cast any day. Stat of the day, without the music and the hype, Packers-Bears rivalry, oldest in the NFL. Packers currently have the leg up, 102-95-6. However, they've only met twice in the playoffs. They're 1-1 in playoff history, including once in the NFC Championship game, won by Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in Chicago. Dallas and Washington, by comparison, 73-47-2 in favor of the Blue Stars. But Washington is 2-0 lifetime in the postseason. I would have thought both the Bears and Packers, and I kind of thought in my head the Redskins and Cowboys have played a lot more times. It turns out that there were games at the end of the regular season that felt like playoff games, like the year that the Cowboys knocked out the Redskins on the final week of the regular season. I think vice versa has been done in more recent vintage as well, at least in the last 20 years, the other way around. But still, sort of amazing that all those games and all those rivals. I know it's hard because you have to be a wild card. One team can only win the division. I get it, but still. And then finally, this can now be told on the quick hitter front. Michelle Beadle said LeBron James wanted her fired. She said he wanted somebody more friendly to him and his camp and that they had worked with. That would obviously be Rachel Nichols, who clearly fawned over LeBron. And apparently Maverick Carter, his agent, never shook hands with Beadle despite her being around all these NBA finals as the host of NBA Countdown. Well, interesting. And I thought Beadle should have been fired for being on ESPN, ripping on the NFL, saying, I don't care about the NFL. I don't watch the NFL. Oh, remember when she was the host briefly of Get Up? $5 million a year? So on the one hand, LeBron's a dick. He's a punk. We know that. And a coward. That's wrong. On the other hand, well, what's that line from that song again?
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, let's talk some football with my man Hatch, the Cincinnati Flash. Well, they said it would never happen. The big boys would never even allow a group of five school to crash their party. Uh-oh. Cincinnati just made it, and I had to call my man the Cincinnati Flash, wide receiver for the Bearcats from 88 to 1990, and a Calgary Stampeder for one brief glorious year in 1990. Bryant Hatcher, you must be flying right now.
I'm ecstatic.
Take that! We want Alabama! We want...
Right.
Wait a minute. Do we really want Alabama?
We want Alabama.
You want all the smoke.
We want the best.
Dude, it's amazing. You said to me playing golf this summer, you're like, you know, we got a squad this year. We might make the playoff. And I said to you, right. Well, here we are. You saw it. I mean, this is huge for the program, is it not?
It is tremendously huge. And just a little blurb, our quarterback, which they're really not talking about that much, Desmond Ridder, right now rated the third or fourth best prospect, depending on if you look at Kuiper or McShay.
Okay.
Was 26-0 in his career at home. 26-0.
That's pretty damn good. Doesn't matter who you're playing.
Exactly. Doesn't matter.
26-0.
26, never lost at home in his career.
Man, that is amazing. You went to the Notre Dame game this year. That was like the big hurdle game, and you guys won it. Were you nervous in the conference championship game?
Yes, I was nervous because Houston had won 11 in a row.
Yeah.
And their defense was only giving up 16 points a game. They were averaging almost 500 yards of offense per game. Yes, I was nervous. But again, when it comes to playing to our competition, we do a good job of playing to our competition, whether it be good or bad.
All right, you're 13.5 point dogs against Bama. Do you got a chance? Do you have a chance, do you think?
I think we do have a chance. I mean, the key is taking number one out of the game, We have two great corners, but I think if we double team him and just do Belichick style, take the best offensive player and just take him out of the game.
Okay. Alabama is?
Is the wide receiver. One that's
not Mechie. Mechie's out. He got
Mechie's
hurt.
Mechie's out with a torn ACL.
Yeah. Jameson Williams.
Yes, Jameson Williams. Just double team him. Just take him out of the game.
Okay.
We don't want any big plays coming from him. And then we got to be able to block that monstrous defensive end, number 31.
Will Anderson.
Yes, Will Anderson. If we can neutralize him, then I think we have a good chance because we have a great running game. In fact, our running back, he's going to be super hyped for this game because he came from Alabama. He's an Alabama transfer. So all those players are his buddies.
Very nice. Are you going to go to the game?
Yes, I am going to the game. Tickets already. Well, I was a season ticket holder, so I got my ticket for the game. But plane tickets bought, hotel set up. I am on my way.
Well, that's great. Well, I really appreciate the invite. You hooking me up with a ticket. Wait a minute. I guess I didn't earn that, bringing you up to Lambeau Field, paying for your ticket.
I'm extending the invitation right now. If you want to go, you could go.
An invite doesn't pay the bills. How much are the tickets?
$375 for the section that I'm sitting in.
Oh man. Maybe I can get it on the cheap. Maybe I can get it last minute. Maybe I can finagle away. I'm not doing anything on New Year's Eve. Imagine me being with
you
after they upset Alabama. We would have the night of our life.
We sure would. I thought I had the night of my life when we beat Notre Dame.
Well,
I was at that game.
And I thought
that was the best time of my life. If we beat Alabama, I don't know what I'll do.
Well, I mean, now you're so far up the mountain, you're getting dizzy, but you're saying, well, we might as well just win the next game and win the whole damn thing.
That's right.
So this has always been a big question, Hatch, whether a quote-unquote mid-major football program. And am I insulting Cincinnati by calling you a mid-major? I am.
Yes, because you know why? Here's the thing with that. When I played, we were an independent, along with Miami, Florida, along with Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Florida State. Nobody ever said when I played, oh, the mid-major Cincinnati's playing Miami, Florida. No, it was Cincinnati versus Miami, Florida. We were all on the same level playing field. Right. When I hear this group of five. When did we become a group? When did Houston become a group of five? Houston, we used to be in the Southwest Conference.
They termed it that just for the conferences that sat below the so-called Big Five.
You mean the Monopoly Five is what they need to be called.
Yes, right. The Monopoly Five is a good equivalent term there. I know there's good programs. I know that Cincinnati's good. We just have never seen this kind of matchup. How will you guys hang? You know, there's a lot riding. There's a lot of programs that'll be rooting for you because God forbid that Alabama crumples you guys up and tosses you away. Then the argument gets made against every future Group of Five program that has a chance, you know?
Right. Yeah. We are the Butler of the Final Four.
Well, see, and that's a good point. Now, in basketball, Hatch, as you know, you can be a mid-major like Gonzaga. Gonzaga was technically a mid-major at one point. Now they're just a major. You know, they're this
but
monster
how so?
Program.
They're the same conference. They haven't moved conferences.
I know. Well, they're a major in that they get the best players. They play the biggest opponents. They're in all the preseason tournaments. And they just play in a little dinky-ass conference. But they somehow dominate. It's easier to do that with 12 scholarships, right? Try doing it over – how many scholarships are now in Division One?
85.
Whew. Yep. All right, so what's the state of the program? I mean, how big is the Cincinnati football program?
Oh, it's big. I mean, I go there, like I said, I have season tickets, and when I go there, the campus, the practice facilities don't look anything like when I was there.
Okay.
We have multiple practice fields. We have a bubble that we can put up. In fact, they're starting to build an indoor practice facility for Cincinnati. And this playoff money will help fund a lot of it.
Right. So is this,
I mean,
just
we're getting in-state. This is the key was getting in-state players that Fickell has been able to do. He has the connections in Ohio. He's an Ohio guy. And guys, it's an easy sell now to say, do you want to go to Ohio State and sit for 2 years, 3 years before you get your chance? Or would you like to come to Cincinnati, have a chance to play right away? So we're not getting the talent that Ohio State's getting, but we're getting some of them.
Yeah. Is he going to stay, Fickle?
Well, what I was reading was that the only two jobs that he would have a hard time staying at Cincinnati for was Ohio State and Notre Dame. Well, we know the Notre Dame job is filled with our old defensive coordinator, great guy, Marcus Freeman. So there's nothing else open that would – I mean, he got offered Michigan State last year, and he didn't take it.
Okay.
So and his son goes there. His son is a freshman on the football team.
Ooh, that could buy you 4 years.
Yeah.
That could buy you 4 years. If you guys hold on to Luke Fickle for 4 years because his son is there, and, like, what's the prospects for next season? Not that we're there yet.
The depth. We have good depth.
Okay.
Are we going to go undefeated next? No, we're going to have to break in a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. Unless we get one from the transfer portal. I hope Spencer Rattler takes a good look at us.
Ooh, imagine that.
We're getting all this pub now. Now these transfers are going to think, coming from Oklahoma, coming from Alabama, they're going to be like, why don't I go to Cincinnati? Why not? Let me take a look at it.
Okay.
What would preclude Spencer Rattler from coming to Cincinnati? Why would he not?
Because someone else, a bigger program, sexier program, would offer him a better chance to start right. Well, you'd be able to start right away there. He sucks, though, right. Hatch. He got benched. Like, he may be a turd. Who knows? Anyway,
right.
Pretty amazing times. Hey, how'd you like Brian Kelly's sudden new accent when he spoke to the fans at LSU? What a fucking phony, huh?
He is. And you know what the thing about he does that wherever he goes.
Yes.
He did it to us. He quit on us the night before the Sugar Bowl.
That's right.
How do you do that?
I don't know, man. You as a player, like when he called the meeting the next day at Notre Dame to say 7 a.m. I'm going to address the team. If you were a player on that team, would you even go?
Yeah, you'd go just because that's what you're accustomed to doing, is being on time and doing what your coach tells you to do. So you show up.
Because it's protocol. It's at least protocol. Respect for the program. Like, this is the deal. We have to be there. Okay, fine.
Yep. So I'm sure there was people a little upset because of the way he did it. I mean, his characters, I met him before when he was at Cincinnati. Great guy. Great salesman. He can get recruits. He's going to get recruits just because of his personality.
Right.
But the problem is when he makes decisions to leave programs, he doesn't do it. Is there a really right way? I don't know. But the way he does it is definitely not the right way. If you're going to sit up there and say, oh, you know the quote from Mike Tomlin, you got to back up to if the check's not $250 million and there's no way why even say that?
That's a good point. Good point.
Just say, hey, I'm not looking at anything right now. Right now I'm at Notre Dame. And that's where I am.
It's like they want to keep the mythology. They want to pretend. It's like a girl on her wedding day. She wants to pretend she's a virgin and wear white. These coaches want to pretend like, yeah, no, I'd never leave. We all know they're for sale.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Cowboys woof this week, buddy boy.
It's against your Washington football team.
Are you nervous?
I am.
You are.
Look good. They did not look good the other night. Dak Prescott is, I don't know what's going on with him. He's not looking good.
I think it's just great that there's going to be a little bit of juice for the game because, I mean.
Like back in the day when we were growing up, finally.
Yeah, finally, a little bit. Cowboys still 90% favorites, according to all the so-called metrics, to win the division.
Right.
But those are just numbers, right?
Dallas has a hard time with quarterbacks that are mobile.
Yeah.
And Tyler Heinicke, for all his wild throws and interceptions, he's mobile and he will run.
He is very, very slippery. Did you like the Patriots running the ball all but three times last night?
That was the funniest thing. And how are you as a Bill not stopping the run? And then you get mad at the guy at the press conference afterward to ask you, did they take your heart or whatever he said, and you got mad.
Yeah, he didn't like that. That was Micah Hyde.
I didn't like that question, bro. What do you mean?
He's
well,
like,
it's a good, valid question. They ran it down your throat, and you couldn't stop it.
But he was like, no, we made some good stops. They had one long run. But, yeah, well, 222 rushing yards later when it was pretty clear they weren't going to let Mac Jones throw. I don't know.
Right, and you knew he wasn't going to throw, and you still didn't make an adjustment. Like, who's the defensive coordinator? I would have put eight people in the box and just put man. I would have had man to man, and I'd even moved up my safety and said, "I dare you to throw." Now you're not going to run because I got 8-9 people up here.
You ever play in weather that bad, that windy?
No.
You ever play golf in weather that bad?
Yes, just last week, and I regretted it.
But you went out anyway, huh?
Because it was a guy's. I was just telling a buddy of mine. I was like, I got so – because I hadn't played golf, right, because our weather hasn't been so good. So I got so excited. It was one of the guys at the club's birthday. And he's like, oh, we're going out to play golf for – his name's Jim Miller. Jim Miller's 60th birthday. Do you want to play? I was like, yes. Not even thinking about the weather. It was 38 degrees that day. Windy.
Oh.
And I was begging my group to go. You know me. I was begging my group to go in.
I can't believe you actually went out. Ladies and gentlemen, for those that don't know, Hatch once bailed on a final round on our golf trip to Pinehurst because it was raining too much on the first hole. It cleared up by the second hole. Instead, he had a leisurely Cracker Barrel breakfast with his partner.
That's right.
You also played in Ireland once. I'm sure the weather that trip had to be a little bit dicey at times.
No, it wasn't.
Really?
I mean, the guy that took us around, he said, you guys are here. You are lucky because it was sunny and it was about 65 every day. There was one day that we played golf where I had to go in and buy like a knit cap to put on my head.
Hmm.
But the rest of the time, it was about 65 and sunny.
Well, it sounds like Hatch weather to me.
Oh, perfect.
Did you watch see Tiger hitting some balls down in the Bahamas? I wasn't playing, but he was practicing a little bit. See a swing?
No, I did. I saw him. I just saw his press conference where he basically said, "I'm done with golf, except
right.
for I'll just try to play like every
couple years,
know,
couple times
major,
a year."
Yeah, and the majors.
Do you think that means it's truly over, or is he just downplaying people's expectations?
I think both. I think he thinks it's over, but he's still going to try to make an attempt.
Okay. Also, I asked this question yesterday on the podcast. I said, did Dan Campbell go too crazy just because the Lions won a single game? I wasn't quite sure because I was never in the game, in a locker room. I know how hard it is to win and all that other stuff, but I thought, wouldn't a coach want to downplay it a bit? Like, we're not going to be happy just winning a game or two.
Well, you knew Dan Campbell was going to be different at his first press conference when he said, we're going to bite your ankles, and then we're going to bite your kneecaps, and then we're going to do it again. So that should answer that question for you. He is not your typical coach.
Yeah. But I bet a lot of the players are like looking at him going, oh, boy, we got one of these guys.
Right. You know, but you know what they said, though, is that a lot of the players really like him, and they were like, they will jump on a sword for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he played in the league five minutes ago, basically.
Right.
So,
he still looks like he can play.
Yeah, but
he was on the Cowboys.
Was he really?
For a minute. Yeah, he played on the Cowboys.
Yeah, okay. And then Mac Jones has filed a trademark for MJ10. Come on, man.
Why? Have you seen his body?
Yes. Well, he's not going to sell underwear, I don't think, but
he looks like a middle-aged. You know who he looks like? He looks like Ken Stabler when he played.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, a lot of players Hatch look like that because weight training and, you know, doing all this other advanced exercise wasn't even a thing back in the day.
Yeah, diet, none of that.
Diet, right. Diet, nutrition, not drinking every night. Those kind of things that are now just like expected of athletes.
So what's his excuse?
Who, Mac Jones?
Yeah.
That's a good question. We'll see if that body trims up or maybe he'll be like Brady. You know, he's got a body not unlike Brady when he was at the combine.
Yeah, but Brady still, yeah, but Brady was still didn't have a gut.
Well, Mac this Jones dude, has a bit of a gut.
He has a gut. I mean, maybe MJ 10 is going to be like Big Macs and fries. Maybe he's going that way. You can play quarterback too. Just eat this Big Mac and French fry.
He's having a good season. He's not like all world, but the Patriots are good. They're fundamentally sound, man. Imagine if it's Belichick versus Brady in the fucking Super Bowl. Can you imagine?
You know, the NFL would love that. All of media course. Would love that. They would eat that up.
Yeah, we would. I'm ashamed to say it. As to say it, we would in the media absolutely do that. All right, so we're going to Myrtle for the beach for the golf trip in the spring. It's done deal, Hatch.
Good.
Happy about
I'm
that?
I'm excited. I was about up to my neck with Pinehurst. gone to Pinehurst way too many times.
Well, and wait a minute.
I'm never gonna. Here's the problem. At Pinehurst, Pine Needles, love the golf course. It's too hard.
Well, Pine Needles.
It's fun to play. But we're playing for a competitive. Yeah. And I don't like where you have a 100-yard shot on number two and you hit a high ball and it lands on the front of the green and rolls all the way off the back.
Welcome to Donald Ross land. Yeah, I would say that Mid Pines is the hardest short course. It's like 6,400 yards from the tips. But every green and every surround of the green is so firm, so tight. The chipping is a nightmare. I mean, I putt from everywhere if I can.
Yes, yes.
So we're going to Myrtle. We're going to Barefoot Landing, and we'll see how it plays. We'll see how many missed tee times are due to the Green Jacket Lounge.
Oh, yes. There are going to be plenty of Green Jacket Lounge. You know, I always show.
I know you do.
I could be out till 3 in the morning and I still show.
You always post, although sometimes you tap out early if it's raining. But otherwise...
Oh, yes, I will do that.
Otherwise, good to go. All right, so you're going down. This is the time for Bearcat football right now.
That's right.
You're living the best life, and if they win, then you've got to find money for the national championship game. Do you have anything left in reserve?
I sure do.
You do?
In fact, here's the way they did it. They made you season ticket holders. They made you pick both games.
What?
So they said, we won't charge your credit card until they make the national championship game. Oh, but okay. here's your spot if you want it. Pick it. And we'll hold it in reserve.
Okay.
Until we make it.
And what?
So I picked for both games. I picked for the round one and round two already.
Huh. And what is the what's the price of the national championship game?
Oof, that thing's like $675 a ticket.
Damn. Well, if you win, I'll take my free ticket reciprocation for the Packer game on that. All right?
You'll go to the okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
That sounds good. All right, Hatch. I'll talk to you later, buddy. Congrats.
All right, thanks, man.
There you go.
Talk to you later.
We'll end on this. They say genetics plays a huge role in how long you live and whether or not you're able to avoid disease. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't a lot of things you can do diet-wise to make sure you avoid disease and getting sick and everything else. But man, genetics, it's a good chunk. If it's not all of it, it's 80%. Here's the story of an Arizona woman named Rachel who just celebrated her 106th birthday. 106. What does she credit for her longevity?
Well, I've had very good care for my beautiful daughter. I've taken good care of myself, the medicine, and good old Captain Morgan and Coke.
I tell you what, if the captain doesn't seize upon that as a marketing viral opportunity, they are missing the boat. That is a wrap for today. Thank you for downloading and listening, being part of the Zabecast Nation. Rate and review. Tickle the algorithm. Subscribe to Fridays as well. Go to Zabe.com/premium to do so. Have yourself a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.